Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve Paisley.
Good morning, everybody.
Jordahl, wearing stripes today, though.
Yes, sir.
You ever wear short sleeves?
I have some short sleeve shirts. I generally, if I'm going to wear them, I'll wear them Fridays.
Yeah. I just noticed you're a long shirt, long sleeve shirt kind
usually
of guy.
You might want to rethink that on Thursday.
Yeah, it's going to be hot.
It's supposed to be hot. Yeah, but it's nice in here.
This is what I say. Yeah, that's exactly what I say with the hot weather, because I lived in Arizona when I was a kid, and my daughter lived in Arizona for a year. And it got to 112, 113 outside, but it's only in my car, it's 80 degrees, and inside it's 80 degrees. I only have to worry about it from the car door to the inside of the building.
I'll tell you this. I lived, my wife and I, our first ministry position was in Scottsdale, yeah, Arizona.
It'll get hot.
And we would drive a car that back then had a metal ignition. You turned it, and I would have to use a handkerchief, because you'd have to hold it, mm-hmm, long enough for the car to crank. At least that's what we used to say. Car would crank.
Crank, yeah.
And you couldn't do that without having that handkerchief, because the metal was so hot inside that car as you're just getting in. And people used to say, like, from back, my wife's from Mississippi, and they would say, when we'd talk about how hot it was, it's over 110 degrees for 20 days straight.
Right.
They'd say, yeah, but it's a dry heat.
Yeah.
And I would say, well, so's the oven.
At 110,
it's really stick your head in there and tell me how enjoyable that is.
You know, now they've got these cars where you can sit in the restaurant and point your clicker at your car and start the car.
Yes.
And have the air conditioning running. So by the time you get out there.
I know what you're talking about there. I remember that it would be so hot that you would have to have something to.
Yeah, because you couldn't hold it long, yeah, enough for the car to turn over.
Yeah. You know, the first time I got a car with a push button starter.
Yeah.
That was a weird. It took me a year to get over.
Did you look for it and say,
where's I'm supposed to start this thing?
Yeah.
It's a button.
Yeah, now they're almost all that way.
Almost all buttons.
I get in the car with an actual key nowadays. I turn off the radio first thing. Nope, that wasn't it.
That's not it.
I know. All right, Steve, what's your first story today?
All right, let's just do this. We'll hit this and we can move on. But Fox has decided what it's going to do with its lineup now that Tucker Carlson is not there any longer. They have announced today that 7 o'clock, these are all Eastern times, Laura Ingraham at 7, Jesse Watters will fill Tucker's position at 8. 8 Eastern. Hannity will be at 9.
You got these wrong.
I do?
8 o'clock Eastern, right? 7 o'clock Central.
Let me try start all over. Okay, all these times are Eastern times. Laura Ingraham at 7, Jesse Watters at 8, Hannity at 9, and Greg Gutfeld at 10.
Oh, you were right. So Ingraham has been moved to basically 6 o'clock Central time?
Yeah.
So she's been bounced.
They're redoing their whole primetime lineup.
What is it currently? I know they have five. They have the 5 on.
The 5 will still be at 5.
5 Eastern. Okay.
Yeah.
So is there a show between the 5 and Laura Ingraham now?
Right now it is Brett Baer. So he'll probably still do his show. That's the drive.
So Jesse Watters has essentially taken Tucker Carlson's spot.
Yeah.
I'm some big shoes to fill right there.
Yeah. I'm not sure Jesse
Watters.
What are
you supposed to do with that though?
He's got an interesting show. He's not exactly the same. I don't know that you're going to have the in-depth expose investigations, but you'll get some good straight news. What are you supposed to do with it? Either watch it or don't.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are not watching Fox since they
Well, they're back on top now.
Drop kicked.
They beat whatever it is, the MSNBC or CNN.
Talking about Rachel Maddow?
Yeah. Fox News, I'm talking about. They did take a big drop after Tucker Carlson was let go.
He did.
Or whatever. But I'm just saying, well, I don't know if it's returned to its previous level, but I'm just saying they did beat Rachel Maddow, MSNBC, last week.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Cable news, I don't know. I don't know how cable news is going to fare out the next 5 years, you know, if it's going to drop down or
it actually I think depends a lot on what happens with the presidential race. If by some chance Donald Trump gets in the White House, MSNBC and CNN and all the other three-letter networks, they're gonna have they're back on top, baby.
It's revival time, baby.
There's a lot of hate watching going on for that, so yeah.
I don't know, you know, the I remember watching Bill O'Reilly. I watched his show for years. Do you remember him?
Oh yeah.
And he would average like 3 million, three and a half million people a week watch his show. And I think that's around, I think Tucker was, you know, Tucker replaced Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Tucker was around that same number. So
you mean every day?
Every night.
Every night they would get three and a half million.
Yeah.
Tucker is.
But now with Twitter and all these other platforms out there. You know, podcasting, they're getting much bigger. A lot of these people are getting much bigger numbers than the Fox News or CNBC or CNN or anybody else. CNN's about to die.
Well, the move is towards a splintering of content. So when you and I were growing up, and Steve too,
right.
Steve's not far behind us,
in front of Tim.
You're in front of Tim, so you're older than Tim. So there were three major networks. That was it. ABC, CBS. Who am I leaving out?
NBC.
NBC. Okay, then Fox David News Brinkley. Joined it. And but now we're seeing, because the entertainment side of that was the same way. You had three networks. Then Fox jumped in. But now you look at the entertainment landscape. It has splintered into all sorts of ways for people to get content, and news is going in the same direction. And I don't see any reversing that. That is going to be the trend. It is going to continue, and you're going to have to latch on to whatever millions you can. And if you can do millions, you're going to be a hit.
Unless you're Tucker Carlson, because he was getting 5 million, 4 or 5 million in a show. His Twitter show has 85 million viewers.
Yes. And guys like Joe Rogan,
yes,
even higher than that.
85 million people.
Yeah.
You don't believe that?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Where'd you get that number?
Well, the Observer has it, and actually New York Times said it was 90.
90 NBC million?
NBC News, I'm sorry, NBC News.
Said
90
what?
Million. Tucker's video got 90 million views.
Okay, well,
his first episode.
Not to split hairs, but he's not going to get 90 million people to listen every show he does. That's impossible.
But I doubt it's going to drop to like 6.
You're probably right about that.
You're always so negative, Tim. Negative, my wife always says to me. Why are you being so negative? Well, it'll fluctuate. All these things will fluctuate, but these podcasts and shows. Now, is he on Twitter?
Yes.
Tucker Carlson.
Yes.
I'm just Tim. That's the way everybody's
on demand,
going.
By the way, it's on demand, so you don't have to watch it at 8 Eastern or whatever his show was on before. So,
and that's different than Fox. Fox is behind a paywall unless you have cable or some other way of accessing
DVR, right.
Evening news, so you know, Sling TV or whatever. But we don't have, we no longer have, you know, the DirecTV, Dish Network, or any
Roku.
Of those kind of things. So you know, we stream stuff, and you have to pay if you want Fox News.
Yeah.
That's not the way it's going to be for someone who's going to have a show on Twitter. You know,
there is a way of monetizing it. I don't know. There are subscriptions. In fact, if you go to, you know, the new O'Keefe Media Group, the James O'Keefe, yeah. when he left his old
Project Veritas.
Project Veritas, he started. Now, if you go on Twitter and you see an OMG, which is what his O'Keefe Media Group he calls it, it says you have to subscribe if you want to read the whole.
So there are ways.
There are ways to do that.
To get money. So
I'm not saying Tucker Carlson isn't hugely popular and probably be number one. You know, views. I don't know what Joe Rogan is still the number one podcaster. I'm just saying to expect 90 million people to watch a 30-minute show or a 45-minute show is not realistic.
There's probably a lot of dropping in and out, right?
Yeah.
Or people watching it because podcasts you can watch it anytime.
Tucker averaged 3.2 million people a night on Fox News. Still a lot of people.
Yeah.
Watching. And he's talking about forming his own media company. He's on fire right now. Now, I don't know what he's going to have to do about the situation with Fox.
He's broadcasting, so either he's reached an agreement or he's going to be hauled into court.
Yeah.
Again.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. We'll see what happens there and how Jesse Waters is able to fare, because that's a lot of pressure on him now.
Yep.
To draw in the viewers. Next story.
All right. Saturday was the one-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision when Roe v. Wade went the way to the dustbin of history. And you heard all kinds of Democrat politicians getting out there and saying, we're going to try to codify Roe. We're never going to stop fighting to be able to kill babies. They didn't probably word it that way, but they were all out. But I want to let you know that it's not just the left that had something to say. Focus on the Family, where I used to work, came out with an ad on, it was out last Friday, maybe Thursday night, this in anticipation of the one-year anniversary. And I want you to hear it because it's kind of clever. So we'll just listen to this ad and then we can talk about it. Cut 11.
Well?
It's positive. We're having a fetus.
Having a fetus?
We're having a fetus.
And here we are.
Would you look at that?
Hi, fetus.
Hey, that name's it?
For the fetus? We've got a few we like.
Focus on the Family would like to remind you that no matter where you are on your pregnancy journey,
it's almost here. Keep pushing. Your fetus is doing great.
Call it what you want. But the truth does not change.
You want to feel the fetus kick?
It's a baby.
It's still a baby.
That's a great ad.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Very creative. Gets right to the heart of it. It kind of cuts through the purposeful twisting of words that the left does on this issue. We're pro-choice. We're not pro-abortion. Calling an unborn child a fetus is not something people do except when they're arguing about abortion.
Right.
Okay. So, and doctors might, medical people might give it that. I think that's just a Latin word.
The Latin word for baby.
For baby. So, everyone, when someone is expecting, you say, how's the baby doing?
Yeah.
What are you going to call the baby? Is the baby a boy or is it a girl? That's the way people talk. And to hear in this ad people replacing that word baby with fetus kind of is just jarring enough that you make people go, yeah, you know what? We're talking about a baby who is fully human.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
It's not excellent job.
Not the first ad that Focus has done. Remember, they had a Super Bowl ad many years ago, the Tim Tebow ad.
Yes.
And
was that one that was allowed to air?
It did air.
Yeah, because they've been pretty strict now on whether whether they will allow you to pay for time.
I don't even know that they mentioned abortion. I think they said they used the life term in the Focus ad, the Super Bowl ad. It was Tim Tebow. You know, he's talking about his mom and thanking for giving her life. I guess it was a difficult birth or a single mom at the time. I don't know, but
I think she was encouraged to abort.
That's what it was
because it was a difficult it was going to be a difficult
pregnancy,
childbirth.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got?
So Fairfax County, their police department has switched out shotguns out of their patrol cars for less than lethal alternatives. So they took 800 shotguns out of circulation, and they're putting in 630 beanbag shotguns. So, by the way, that should leave some 170 police without either, but the numbers. But, yeah, so they don't. And, by the way, just so you know, 2 months into the new year, crimes against persons and crimes against property in Fairfax County are on track to outpace 2022. Crime is up. Let's take the guns away.
That, I'm just going to have to say, if you're a police officer in Fairfax County, you cannot be happy with this, because that means you are going to be serious. You're just going to have your handgun.
Yeah.
So you have a beanbag shotgun, which is obviously less lethal.
Less lethal.
It's less lethal. It's obviously less lethal, but if you're in a firefight, you don't want less lethal.
No.
You want what they used to call a scatter gun.
They'll have the taser guns too, but yeah. Those are also less.
Listen, yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say this is stupidity on parade. Okay. Officers are going to lose their lives because of this decision. I hope not. I'm just saying you are putting police. Why not just say you can have a handgun, but no ammunition? Right. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You throw your gun at the crook.
Yeah. Talk them down.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Ready to move on? All right. Hey, this whole Hunter Biden fiasco. It's interesting to see how the media covers it. I know you guys played a little bit about from the Jean-Pierre and some of the White House machinations about how they skirt around what's obviously some problems for Joe Biden.
Right.
But I found this take particularly interesting. The New York Times has a columnist. His name is Nicholas Kristof, and anybody who reads the New York Times is very familiar with him. Very
He's
liberal.
Far, far left.
Far, far left. And so this is his take on the whole Hunter Biden crime issue.
Crime family.
In his opinion column, this is what he writes. In what I see is an opportunity for the president to take on the nation's drug and alcohol problems as forcefully as he took on his sons. Get all the crime. The guy was an alcoholic and a drug user. And apparently, and according to Kristof, Joe Biden, who never talks business with his son, must have spent a lot of time talking drugs and alcohol, because he talked him down. He forcefully took on his son's drug problems, according to Bill Kristof.
Well,
Nick Kristof, sorry.
First of all, that part of it, I have no problem with the Kristof column. Obviously, our country has a big problem with substance abuse. A lot of people have been captured by this and are in bondage to it. I'm using spiritual terminology now. And obviously, I would guess that both Joe and Jill Biden would have taken a real interest in trying to get Hunter clean. But what Kristof is doing is pretending that that's the only problem that Hunter Biden posed to the Biden family.
This is what's important. Look and, over here.
Yes, that's right.
Pay no attention to the
I'm
man
sorry,
behind the curtain.
Nice try, but you're saying something obvious about a family that had a drug addiction issue in it, but it does not lessen, I think, the interest on the part of the American people, and now seemingly even some of the left-wing media, in Hunter Biden's drug-induced business dealings and how it might have affected Joe Biden, impacted him as a vice president and now as president.
It just occurred to me, you know, you've heard about what the whistleblower was saying about the big man or my dad sitting right next to me while he's doing. Maybe he was in the middle of a drug treatment episode and got a phone call on his cell phone. I'm just, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Let me ask both of you guys. Tim, let me just start with you and then ask you, Steve. Do you think, we have no way of knowing right now, do you think Joe Biden was sitting next to Hunter Biden when he said that on the phone? You think he was actually there, or was Hunter Biden
It's that 50-50 because when you're into you're on drugs and alcohol, and you're on the phone and nobody can see you.
Yeah,
he could be lying through his teeth because right. he wanted to intimidate these people.
Yeah,
over the phone. You know, in that kind of situation, if I were them, I'd have said, "Well, put him on FaceTime."
Yeah, or put him on. Let me talk.
Yeah, put him on. Let me talk to him. So, I mean, I'm 50-50 because, you know, somebody like that probably lies every day, all day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In the condition Hunter Biden was in.
Yeah.
And so he could have been lying. But really, to me, it doesn't matter. Well, that does matter, too, whether he was physically in his presence, because that's what it sounds like, according to this audio tape. But listen, regardless of that. And I don't know whether it's irregardless or regardless. Irregardless is not a word?
No.
People use it?
Irregardless of how often people use it.
Okay, then I was right. Regardless.
Regardless.
Joe Biden is lying through his teeth if he says, I didn't have anything to do with my son's businesses or I didn't talk to him about
yeah.
it. And everybody knows that.
Nobody believes that.
So... That's my answer. I'm sticking to it.
What do you think, Steve?
Well, first of all, I'm triggered. I'll tell you why in a second. But I agree with Tim. I have no idea. He could have been there, but likely he was lying. But can I just say, regardless, a couple other things. It is, I could not care less, instead of saying I could care less, because if you could care less, that means you care some.
Yeah, people say that wrong all the time. And I call them on it, too.
And the other thing is, especially... I hear this all the
time. Especially.
Well, you know, it's the Biden family is in the White House, especially when they're.
Here's the one I like. He's over exaggerating. You ever heard that one?
Oh, yes. Now, that's a good one.
People use that all the time.
That's redundant.
You know, he's over exaggerating, as opposed to exaggerating. So.
These are important things.
Yes.
Yeah. You know.
We're about out of time here.
You got something you can.
Yeah. Let's talk about
we're about to go, you know, ride off into the sunset. Is there something as we're
getting
on our horses?
Dr. Robert Moore turned 100 in San Jose, California, and for his 100th birthday, his neighbor Allison Moore, actually his daughter, posted on a neighborhood network and Facebook, "Hey, my dad's going to be sitting outside his house, and he'd like to pet some puppies. He'd like to pet some dogs, and who doesn't like to pet a dog?" She thought maybe they'd get 10, 15 dogs to come by. There was a parade of more than 200 dogs that came by to bid Dr. Robert Moore a happy 100th birthday. 200.
200. He got to pet all those.
Got to pet every one of them.
See, that is people in the neighborhood where we live out in the country. People will drop dogs off all the time where we live. Because they don't want to take care of them. They're too lazy to go to the, to where you drop off your dogs. That would have been a perfect opportunity for someone just to kind of leave a dog that you didn't want. You know, in a crowd of 200 dogs.
Yeah.
Just, hey, can you just hold this leash for a second? I got to go check something in my car. And then you just come back.
That's petting therapy. Is that what that is?
It is. The guy liked dogs, so I don't know that he needed the therapy. But
100 years old, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Ed. And let's see who all was on the show today. Brent Creeley, our producer.
Jayla Ward.
Thanks to Jayla Ward, our summer intern.
Chris Woodward.
Yes. Chris Woodward. Have a great day, everybody. Keep listening.